East of Eden by John Steinbeck, dramatized by Donna Frances Child.
Sometimes a kind of glory lights up in a man. The skin tastes the air and every deep down breath is sweet. A man may have lived all his life in the gray. Its events, even the important ones, may have trooped by faceless and pale. And then, the glory. So bright was Adam's glory that when Kathy said she did not want to go to California, he did not listen. And he did not notice the sullen pain in his brother's eyes when he shook his hand at the station. Adam had sold his share of the farm to Charles for less than it was worth. And with that and his father's money, he was free and rich. Adam bought the best farm in the Salinas Valley and now sat like a sleek-fed cat on his land. Under a giant oak, he looked out at the acres lying away to the river, at the rounded foothills on the western side, the line of willows and sycamores banded in the middle. And this was where I found him that day.
You, Mr. Trask?
Yes.
One of the carpenters said I find you here. My name, Lee.
God, well, pleased to meet you, Lee. Is that a Chinese name?
Yeah, but I'm American. I was born here.
Huh. What can I do for you?
I understand you look for a cook.
That's right. What kind of experience do you have?
I've worked in the kitchens of ranches all over the valley. Even worked on this ranch when it was owned by the Sanchez family.
That would have been a long time ago.
It was. I'm not a young man, but I am an excellent cook.
Well, I guess I better give you the job then. Come on. I'll show you the kitchen. You can meet my wife, Kathy. As you can see, I'm having the old house rebuilt. The last owner actually had his cows in here. But I bought this place for the land, not the house.
The land here is very good.
I'm going to have to sink a well or two to try and find water.
I know a man who can help you with that. His name is Samuel Hamilton.
He's good?
I think he could find water beneath the Mojave Desert if he drilled deep enough.
Well, this is the kitchen. Not much in it so far. Kathy?
I can go into a Pajaro tomorrow. I will buy pots, kettles, pans, kegs, jars, glass.
I'm sure glad you're here. I didn't even know where to start. My wife hasn't been too well. Won't be up for doing the heavy kitchen work for a while yet. Kathy! Kathy! Come and meet the cook. His name's Lee. He's gonna... Oh, God. Kathy! Kathy!
Adam had found Kathy near dead from loss of blood. The sheets of her bed were soaked in it. Adam held her hand and did not leave her side as Dr. Tilson examined her and stopped the bleeding with packing.
Is she going to be all right?
Why don't you wait downstairs, Mr. Trask?
She'll be all right, won't she?
Just go downstairs. I'll call you pretty soon. Now, I want you to tell me, Mrs. Trask, why did you do it?
Do what?
Your husband doesn't even know, does he?
I don't understand.
You understand perfectly well. What did you use, a knitting needle? Well, you're a fool. You've nearly killed yourself and you haven't lost your baby. Now, what made you do this? All right. You won't speak. You don't have to. But I'll tell you this. There's a law in this state about abortion. And if this happens again, if you lose this baby, I will have you charged. I will testify against you, and I will see you punished. Do I make myself clear?
I'm sorry, Doctor. I'm sorry.
Why don't you want to have the baby? You've got a good husband, don't you?
You don't understand.
Why don't you tell me?
Adam is so good. So strong.
I'm tainted. Epilepsy. My grandfather, my father, my brother. I couldn't bring that on my husband.
You can't be certain your baby will have it. It's more probable that he'll be fine and healthy.
Please don't tell my husband about this.
All right. I won't tell him. But only if you promise me you won't do this again.
I promise.
Please, doctor, tell me, is she sick?
She's sick, all right, Mr. Trask, with the only good sickness there is. She's going to have a baby. Congratulations.
If Adam was resting like a sleek, fed cat on his land, Kathy was cat-like, too. She had the attribute of abandoning what she could not get and waiting for what she could. She had no choice now but to sit out her pregnancy as she would have weathered an illness.
What do you think, Mr. Hamilton?
Well, I knew it was good land, but I didn't think it was this good. You've got water there, all right.
When can you start?
As soon as we get the materials.
And we had a farm in Connecticut. Nothing but stones in the soil that you had to dig out one at a time. You'd have to go a long way to find a stone here.
You ever been out west before?
My father put me in the army. They sent me out here to fight the Indians.
You don't look like a military man.
I wasn't a good one.
And what makes you say that?
I guess I just couldn't find a good enough reason for killing.
Maybe there isn't one.
When I came out of the army, it was like dragging myself out of a swamp. And then Kathy came. Suddenly a day was good to wake up to. And I wasn't afraid anymore. Seemed to be telling you everything.
You must want to.
Look, you'll stay for supper? And Kathy will want to meet you. Kathy, this is Samuel Hamilton. He's going to drill a few wells for us.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Hamilton.
Well, please call me Samuel.
And you know Lee?
Yeah.
Looks like we're just in time for supper.
I'll settle the place at the table.
Please, sit down. Yeah. Samuel's invented a windmill that can power the pumps to bring up the water. We can grow anything we want here.
Do you like our valley, Mrs. Trask?
What? Oh, yes.
You look well. Is this your first baby?
Yes, yes it is.
I've got 9. Big Irish family. I brought every one of them into the world myself. But the first, that's always special.
I wanted the house to be ready for the baby, but it looks like the baby's going to be ready first.
If it isn't impertinent to ask, Mrs. Trask, when's it due?
In about 6 weeks. My wife is one of those paragons, a woman who doesn't talk much.
Sometimes a silence tells the most.
You shivered, Samuel. Are you cold?
No. A goose walked over my grave, I guess. Well, thank you for supper. You certainly know how to fry chicken, Lee.
Would you like me to bring you a whiskey, Mr. Hamilton?
No. I really must head home now. My wife will be wondering where I am.
Let me walk you down to the stable.
No. Stay with your wife.
I'll walk down with you.
Good night, then. Nice to meet you, Mrs. Trask.
Yep.
He's a good man. I like him. Imagine. One day, you'll see this whole valley green with alfalfa. When the baby's born, you can ride over the whole place with me. You haven't really seen it.
Adam, I didn't want to come here. I'm not going to stay here. And as soon as I can, I will go away.
Don't talk nonsense. You're like a child away from home for the first time. Everything will change after the baby is born. You'll see.
Samuel Hamilton brought in his well rig later that week. He slept in a tent beside the work and cooked over a campfire. Adam fluttered like a bewildered bee confused by too many flowers. He sat by Kathy and sketched for her the new fan blade Samuel had invented. When he was with Samuel, All his talk was of birth and childcare. It was a good time for Adam. The best time.
Mr. Hamilton! Mr. Trask says you come quickly. Mrs. Trask having baby.
Well, then go fetch the doctor.
No time. You're coming very fast. Mr. Trask wants your help. He says you delivered 9 babies.
All right, I'll come. What are those blankets doing on the windows?
She says the light hurts her eyes.
There will have to be light.
She says it hurts her eyes.
Look, I'm sorry, Adam, but I'm going to have to ask you to get out of the room.
No, Sam.
Because I don't want you in the way, and I don't want you bursting in if you hear anything either. Hmm? You wait for me to come out. Now go. Go.
All right.
The way you're going, I don't think it'll be long before your baby's here. Look, let me put this cloth on your forehead. Now, that's quite a scar you've got on your head, dearie. How did you get that?
It was then her head jerked up and her sharp teeth fastened on his hand.
Stop it! Stop it!
He tried to pull his hand away, but her jaw was set, mangling his hand the way a terrier worries a sack. Blood spurted from the wound, but she would not let go. And she did not let go until the labor pain subsided.
I'm sorry, Samuel. It was the pain.
Samuel, is she all right?
Yes. And you have 2 fine sons.
Twins! I got twins, Lee!
Twins!
Kathy?
Samuel, your hand. Did she bite you?
Yes. This is going to give me trouble.
Why did she bite you?
I don't know. She's a strange thing. You know, when I bundled both boys up, I said, "Do you want to see your sons now?" She said no.
Let me take care of that, Samuel. A human bite is more poisonous than a snake's.
For a week, Kathy stayed in bed and gathered her strength. She would not feed the babies, and Adam had to send me to Salinas to buy a nursery bottle. On Saturday of the second week, Kathy told me I should take the day off. She said the rest would do me good. She insisted, so I went.
Kathy, I got you some supper. I'm afraid I can't cook like Lee, but... Oh, you're up. You must be feeling better. Come and have some tea.
I'm not hungry.
Kathy, what are you doing?
Packing. I'm going now.
Going? I don't believe you.
Don't give a damn what you believe.
But the babies...
You can throw them in one of your wells for all I care.
Kathy, you're sick. You can't go. Not from me.
I can do anything to you. Any woman can do anything to you. You're a fool!
I won't let you go!
You can't keep me here. Unlock the door. Unlock the door.
Not until you come to your senses. You're sick. I won't let you leave. Kathy.
Oh, Adam. I don't know what I'm doing. Forgive me. Since the babies came, I just don't. Help me, Adam. Please.
Kathy, my dear. Oh.
The heavy slug hit and tore out a piece of his shoulder blade. Kathy moved slowly toward him, as she might toward a wounded animal. He stared up into her eyes, which inspected him impersonally.
Kathy, please.
Then she tossed his Colt 44 on the floor beside him and walked out of the house. When I came back that night, I found the babies crying and Adam on the ground bleeding. It's a miracle he did not bleed to death. The doctor came and then the sheriff. Adam told the sheriff he had accidentally shot himself while cleaning his gun. He also said his wife had gone to visit relatives. The sheriff did not believe him, but Adam stuck to his story. He took a detailed description of Mrs. Trask, wide-set eyes, yellow hair, a scar on her forehead, and then told his deputy to investigate. He suspected that Adam had murdered his wife.
Good morning, Lee. Well, you sure have a handful with those two.
It's certainly not easy. If I give milk to one, the other cries. I give milk to the other, and his brother cries.
Jealousy is a terrible thing. Where are the carpenters today?
Adam fired them yesterday. He say he changed his mind about the house.
I guess he feels like there's no one to fix it up for anymore.
Where is he? Out there, sitting under the oak tree. He sits there until it gets dark and then go to bed. The next day, he sits there again.
Maybe I'll go out and see him before I get started, though.
He'll be glad to see you.
Hello, Adam. How's that shoulder?
It's healing.
My boys are coming out to help me this afternoon. We're hoping to sink the last borehole.
No. I don't want any wells. I'll pay for the work you did.
You'll need water if you want to plant alfalfa.
I don't want to plant anything.
Listen, Adam. I guess the last bad habit a man will give up is advising.
But... I don't want advice.
Well, nobody does. It's a giver's present. Go through the motions, Adam. Act out being alive, like a play. After a while, a long while, it will be true.
Why should I?
You're going to pass something down no matter what you do, or if you do nothing. Even if you let yourself go fallow, the weeds will grow and the brambles. Something will grow. Go through the motions, Adam.
As there's no work for me to do today, I guess I'll go home.
No, please. The babies are asleep now. Why don't you have a glass of inkapi with me?
What's that?
A kind of Chinese brandy. Please, Mr. Hamilton, sit.
Isn't it time you started calling me Samuel?
I'll call you Samuel, then.
Yeah, what's this you're reading? The Bible? I didn't know you were a Christian.
I'm a seeker of wisdom. I read many books.
I mean, I had to memorize parts of the Bible when I was a boy. When I read it again a long time later, I discovered it was full of contradictions.
As life is. Please, drink.
This tastes like rotten apples.
Yes, but... nice rotten apples.
You weren't born in China, were you, Lee?
No, I was born here.
I mean no disrespect, but I can't figure out why an ignorant man like me from the black bogs of Ireland with a head full of Gaelic and a tongue like a potato can speak better English than you.
Me talky Chinese talk.
No, well, forgive me if I don't believe that.
How can I explain? If I should go out and speak to a lady or gentleman as I'm doing now, I would not be understood.
Why not?
Because it would not be what they expect of a servant.
I don't understand.
You were born in Ireland. In a few years, you can almost disappear, while I, who was born in Grass Valley, went to school here and have a degree from the University of California, have no chance of mixing.
But if you dressed and talked like the other people...
I tried that once. To the so-called whites, I'm still a Chinese, but an untrustworthy one. And at the same time, my Chinese friends steered clear of me.
Well, do you mind if I ask you a question?
You want to know why a man of learning is content to be a servant.
How did you know?
It seems to follow. I don't know where being a servant came into disrepute. It is the refuge of the philosopher. Mm. Properly carried out, it is a position of power, even of love.
That must be a lonely life.
That's the only fault with it. But I'm too busy to think about it too much.
Three months later, the deputy reported back to the sheriff with information. There was a whorehouse in Salinas owned by a woman called Faye. It was a nice, quiet, well-run place. It even had a piano player. A new girl had started there in the same week Kathy disappeared. The girl was called Kate and had yellow hair, wide-set eyes, and a scar on her forehead.
Come in.
I thought you might like some tea, Faye.
Oh, Kate, you're so good to me. Mm. Would you like a walnut?
No, thank you.
They are really fresh. Oh, dear God!
I keep telling you, you need to see a dentist about that tooth.
Oh, could you bring me that medicine, dear?
And if you won't see the dentist, you should not eat walnuts.
Mm. I still don't understand why you came here, Kate. You could get a husband and a surrey and a house in town with no trouble at all.
If only life was that simple.
Then why don't you tell me what's so complicated about it?
It's hard to explain. Please don't ask me.
I once had a girl who was supporting her baby, and no one knew for a long, long time. Do you have a baby, dear?
I've got to go downstairs now.
No, no, you don't. Please. Sit here with me. I don't like you working here, Kate.
I've told you I need the money.
I've been thinking about that. How would you feel about managing the house? You could take care of things for me. I'm not always well, you know. And I could pay you as much as you make and more.
I do love you, but I can't take your money. Please. I have to go downstairs now, Mother. I mean, Faye.
No. Please. You can call me Mother.
Kate, I've been looking for you. Mr. Whitley's been waiting 20 minutes.
I'm on my way, Ethel.
It's really quiet tonight. We can probably close early.
No. We'll close at 2, as usual.
It had been over a year since Kate had left Adam bleeding on the bedroom floor. The physical wounds had healed, but the wounds of his soul had not. I did not know what to do, so I turned to the only wise man I knew.
Ah! Lee! Ah! There's a face I have not seen in a long while.
I don't like to disturb your work, sir.
That's all right. My wife says I'll use any excuse to avoid it, and now you've given me one. Well, how are the boys? Well, they must be about a year old by now.
15 months.
Oh.
That's what I've come to talk to you about.
The boys? Is everything all right?
No, it's not. The house has been left unfinished. The garden's overgrown with weeds. The boys laugh, they cry. But Adam... he seems to feel nothing for them.
Who's taking care of them?
I am. I cook for them, I bathe and feed them. Their first words were in Cantonese. Perhaps you could come to the house tonight. There is something you need to make him do.
Well, it's hard to make a man do what he doesn't want to do. What is it? Adam!
What are you doing here?
Adam! I want to talk to you.
Please, go away.
Where are your boys?
I don't know.
You don't? At least putting them to bed, I can see the light in the window.
What do you want?
I want you to tell me their names.
Please, go.
I will, when you tell me their names.
What business is it of yours?
Your boys are 15 months old and you haven't named them. What's the matter with you? Have you no love? I can't think of a man picking up a rock who wouldn't have put a name to it by evening.
Their mother left them motherless.
And you've left them fatherless.
You've been sitting under this tree for 15 months.
Samuel, I'll ask just once and then no more. Has there been any news of her? Any news at all?
No.
I wonder who she was. I wonder what kind of blood is in my boys.
I don't much believe in blood. I think that when a man finds good or bad in his children, he's seeing only what he planted in them.
You can't make a racehorse of a pig.
No, but you can make a very fast pig. Come on. We'll go in and we'll name those boys.
Are they asleep now?
Oh, sometimes it's very hard. The one goes to sleep easily, but then his brother wakes him.
Maybe he just likes the company.
I thought you might like a whiskey.
Indeed I would.
Sit down with us, Lee.
We're trying to think of names.
Oh, I have a Bible. The Bible has a lot of names in here.
Oh, well, that's a big book. We're going to start from the beginning. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Oh, well, maybe not Cain and Abel.
Isn't it odd that Cain is one of the best-known names in the Bible and only one man has ever borne it?
I haven't heard that story since I was a child. I'm not even sure I remember all of it. They were brothers.
Here. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect.
Oh, I got a shiver when you read that.
And for this hurt, Cain murdered his brother.
So God banished him and branded him.
Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden.
I remember being a little outraged by God for that. Both Cain and Abel gave what they had, and God accepted Abel and rejected Cain. I never thought that was just.
Even God can have a preference, can't he? Let's suppose he likes lamb better than vegetables.
But we are descended from this. This is our father. What chance did we have?
Now, I rode over here to help you name the twins, and so far all I've done is drink your whiskey.
So name me some names.
Perhaps Caleb and Joshua. Out of all the people who started out of Egypt, they were the only ones that got to the promised land.
I like Caleb, but Joshua was a soldier. I don't like soldiering.
Well, I've always liked Aaron, but he didn't make it to the promised land, though.
Aaron? Yeah, that's good enough. Caleb and Aaron.
I think you have your names, Adam. To Caleb and Aaron.
To Caleb and Aaron.
You are now people and have a right to be damned.
Fay was eventually able to persuade Kate to take over the day-to-day running of the business. She ran the office, looked after the ledgers, ordered all the supplies, and paid the invoices. She found ways of increasing profits. She bought produce like beans and peaches direct from the farmers to lower the food bill and planned to can them for the winter. Fay beamed with pride as only a mother could. One night, she asked Kate to come and see her after the place closed. She had a surprise for her.
What in the world?
Kate, there you are.
Candles? Chocolates? A cake?
And champagne. Bottles of the stuff.
Looks like a party.
It is. A party for my dear daughter.
But why?
Because I want to give you a present. Bring me that little mahogany box.
What's in it?
Oh, open it and find out.
What's this?
It's my will.
all my worldly goods, without exception, to Kate Albee, because I regard her as my daughter.
All legal and witnessed by the cook. Are you pleased?
Oh, Mother, I didn't know anyone could be so good.
I know a will is a strange present, but it means more than that. Now that you're my real daughter, I can tell you, we have cash and securities in excess of $60,000.
I don't like to think about you dying.
Oh, everyone should make a will. Now dry those eyes. This is a celebration. Oh, to my dear daughter.
I don't drink very much. It's not good for me.
Nonsense. You're not going to let an old woman get silly by herself.
You're not an old woman, Mother.
Don't talk. Drink. Now, come on. Down the rat hole.
All right.
Let me see the bottom, child. Oh. You see how good it is? Mm-hmm. Fill it up again.
The transition came to Kate almost immediately after the second glass. Her fear of anything disappeared. This was what she was afraid of. And now it was too late.
I bet you can't drink two without stopping.
Don't bet me, Kate, you'd lose. I can drink six without stopping.
Let me see ya.
The contest started, and a puddle of champagne spread out over the tabletop.
Kate, we are gonna have such a good life. I've always wanted to go to Europe. Let's go to Europe.
Maybe we'll do that sometime, but not now.
Why not? I have plenty of money.
And we'll make plenty more.
We could sell the house. Maybe get $10,000
for it. We're not going to sell the house.
What do you mean? It's my house. I can sell it.
Didn't you forget? Uh-huh. I'm your daughter.
Is there more champagne?
Sure. Here, drink it out the bottle.
No.
Oh. That's right, Mother.
What are you doing?
Spill it down your neck. Get it under your corset, Mother, against your fat stomach.
Okay, don't. Don't be mean.
I'm gonna show you how to run a whorehouse. We'll fix those gray slugs who come in here and dump their nasty little loaves for a dollar. You think they gave me a dollar? They gave me 10. And the price is going up all the time.
Kate, don't talk like that. You're not like that.
Take down the pants of one of my regulars and you'll see the heel marks in his groin and the little cuts that bleed for a long time. That's the way this house is gonna be. That's what they pay $20 for.
I run a good house. I want you out.
But we're having a party. Come on, Mother dear, drink.
No.
Drink.
No.
Faye mumbled thickly for a while, then relaxed in her chair and slept. Dread began to gather in the corners of Kate's mind, and out of dread came panic. She washed her face, then dragged Faye to bed, undressed her, and put her clothes away. She went to her own room and put on her nightgown before slipping back into Faye's room. Then she poured cold water into her ear.
No. It's all right. It's all right. You had a bad dream.
Oh, Kate. It was horrible. Horrible. How could I have dreamed something like that?
Go back to sleep.
Oh, I'm afraid to. What if I dream it again?
Poor little mother. I'll stay right here beside you and keep the dreams away.
Oh, Kate. You're so good to me.
The next day, Kate accused the cook of telling that he had witnessed Faye's will and betraying what was supposed to have been secret. Kate made sure one of the girls overheard. When word got round to all the whores, they worried that the will might change things for the worse. But if anything, Kate was kinder in the months that followed. And for this, Kate was well loved, particularly by Faye, for whom she was a devoted daughter. No matter how busy she was with running the house, Kate always made time to sit and talk, to cook for her, and to cheerfully do whatever errand she needed her to run.
Good morning, Dr. Wilde.
Oh, good morning, Kate. You startled me. How did you get in?
It wasn't locked. I came in to wait.
Wasn't locked? Getting old, I guess. Forgetful. Come for the Epsom salts?
Yes.
Faye's still having stomach trouble?
Yes. I hate to see her in so much pain.
You tell her she wouldn't need so much Epsom salt if she got more sleep and ate more vegetables.
I'll tell her. Oh, and she said to get her an eyedropper, too. Have you got one?
The next Sunday night, Kate crept into the backyard and dug a little hole. She took out a small bag of broken glass and an eyedropper, dropped them into the hole and covered it over with tufts of grass. Then she went upstairs to make supper for Faye. It was just what the doctor had ordered, vegetable soup and string bean salad.
Oh, help me! Help me! It's Kate! Help me! Oh, what happened? Oh, we just had her nice supper, and she said she didn't feel well, and then she just doubled over like this.
Somebody fetch Dr. Wilde.
Oh, Kate. Kate, my dear child.
You look flushed, Faye. You all right? Faye.
Oh.
Faye. Kate. Kate, are you awake?
Ethel?
You look a little better this morning. I've never seen someone so sick in my life. Doctor says you're going to be all right, though. He said to give you some warm milk if you're hungry.
What was it? What happened?
Food poisoning.
Not from the food I made.
Dr. Wilde says it was probably the string beans we canned. There's this real bad kind of poisoning you can get. He says you're lucky to be alive.
What about Mother?
She wasn't as lucky.
You mean she... No! Oh, no, not her! Not her! She's all I had in the world.
Kate was so distraught about Faye's death that she forgot completely about the will. It was Ethel who finally remembered. As the years passed, the twins became increasingly different from each other. If Aaron came upon an anthill in a little clearing in the brush, he would lie on his stomach and watch the ants. If Cal came upon the same anthill, he would kick it to pieces.
I got it. I got a rabbit.
The arrow went right through the heart.
Sure did.
Lee can cook it tonight. Father likes rabbit stew.
You can take the credit, Aaron. I'll tell them you did it, and I'll say it was a hard shot, too.
Well, we can say we both shot together, and we don't know who hit it. We can divide up the credit. After all, it was my arrow.
No, it wasn't. You look at the feather. See that nick? That's mine.
Well, then how did it get in my quiver?
Are you calling me a liar?
I don't want to fight, Cal.
Afraid to?
You always want to fight.
No, I don't.
We should probably head back to the house. It's getting late.
All right. Here. You carry the rabbit.
Hello.
Hello?
Who are you?
My name's Abra.
I'm Aaron, and this is my brother, Cal.
You just moved here?
No. My father's the county supervisor. He came out to talk to someone at the Buchan Ranch. I got bored and went for a walk. You want some licorice?
Sure.
I'm nearly 13. How old are you?
We're 14. We're twins.
Twins?
But you don't look a bit alike.
Some twins don't. We come from two different eggs, not one.
Eggs. Mm-hmm. So which of you is poached and which of you is fried? What's that?
It's a rabbit.
I killed it.
You can have it if you want it.
Why would I want a dirty old rabbit covered in blood?
I could wash him off and put him in a box for you. Rabbit stew tastes really good.
Well, if you put it in a box. But won't your mother want it for your supper?
We haven't got a mother.
You haven't? What happened to her?
She died.
Died? Oh, you poor boys.
Abra! Abra, we're leaving!
Guess I have to go back now.
Wait! I'll just put the rabbit in a box for you.
But that would be really sweet of you, Aaron. Thank you.
Cal did not question the fact that people liked his brother better. That he had developed the means of making it all right for himself. Far from disliking Aaron, Cal loved him because he was usually the cause for his feelings of triumph.
He won't be long. Unless he has to look around for it.
The rabbit?
Oh, he's got that all right. But maybe he can't catch the other. It gets away sometimes.
What gets away?
Oh, he wouldn't want me to tell. He caught it last Friday. Bit him, too.
What are you talking about?
You'll see. I'll bet he tells you not to open it right off. Here he comes. Don't act like I told you.
Here. I even tied it up with a red ribbon so it looks nice. Don't untie it until you get home.
You can keep it.
What does she do that for?
I don't know.
But I want to marry her, Cal. I even put a letter in the box asking her.
Looks like you're going to have to marry somebody else.
Adam, look who's here.
Samuel, it's good to see you.
Would you like me to pour you a whiskey?
Oh, well, only if you pour one for yourself.
Please, Samuel, sit down.
I'm afraid I've come to say goodbye.
Goodbye? Where are you going?
My daughter Olive's asked us to visit her in Salinas for a few months.
But she'll be back.
Then we're going to my son George in Paso Robles, then Molly in San Francisco, and then Will, and then maybe even Joe in the East, if I should live that long.
Then we'll drink to your journey.
Adam, I don't want you to take offense, but I see your land here is still fallow.
I have no reason to plant.
What about those two boys I saw when I was coming in?
What do you expect me to do?
Try again.
I haven't the energy or the courage.
You've never let her go, have you?
I guess not.
Do it for your boys, Adam. Don't you love your boys?
Yes. Yes.
One more than the other. But Cain less than Abel.
Why do you ask that?
I don't know. Something about your tone.
Sometimes I don't understand, Cal.
Do you remember the night we named those boys? We talked about Cain and Abel? That story bit into me deeply, and I went into it word for word. I compared the different translations, and they were fairly close. There was only one thing that bothered me. In the King James version of the Bible, when Jehovah asked Cain why he is angry, the Lord says, "If thou doest well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." It was the thou shalt that struck me, because it was a promise that Cain would conquer sin.
You've always been more of a philosopher than a cook, Lee.
No, this is important, because in the American Standard Bible, it doesn't say thou shalt. It says do thou, and unto thee shall be his desire, and do thou rule over him. This is not a promise. It's an order.
Guess I see what you mean. Different translations.
Meaning very different things. So, I wondered what the original word had been in Hebrew. I went to a Hebrew scholar to try to understand. And he said the word is Timshu. It means thou mayest. Thou mayest rule over sin.
Why is that so important?
Don't you see? Thou mayest is a choice. It's not a promise. It's not an order. A choice that God is giving to man. For if thou mayest, it is also true that thou mayest not.
Timshu.
Don't you see? It means we have a choice.
Adam, I came over here to tell you something, and I'm standing here ready to go home, and I still haven't told you.
Told me what?
If I was a doctor and had a medicine that might cure you and also might kill you, should I give it to you?
What medicine?
Do you want it or not?
Yes.
Kathy's in Salinas. She calls herself Kate now and owns a whorehouse. The most vicious and depraved in this whole end of the country. The worst things humans can think of are for sale there. She takes the fresh and young and beautiful and so maims them that they can never be whole again. Now there's your medicine. I don't know if it'll cure you or not.
I think I'll write to my brother in Connecticut, Samuel. Now, that farm of his is hard work, and like me, he's not a young man anymore. If we work together, we could make something of this place. Sink a few wells, get those windmills going, grow alfalfa.
That sounds like a good plan, Adam.
Samuel Hamilton went with his wife Liza to visit his daughter Olive in Salinas, his son George in Paso Robles, and Molly in San Francisco. And then he died, just as he knew he would. Adam wrote to his brother for the first time in 10 years. Even before his letter would have got to San Francisco, he was impatient with Charles for not having replied. Finally, a letter arrived for Adam with a Connecticut postmark, which he opened very quietly at the breakfast table.
Well, who's it from, Father?
Your brother isn't coming?
No, my brother's dead.
Who?
Your Uncle Charles, Cal. This is from his attorney. He died 3 months ago from a lung ailment. They didn't know where to find me till they got my letter.
Was he rich?
Of course not.
It's just if he was rich, we'd get it, wouldn't we?
It isn't a nice thing to talk about money at a time like this. We're sad because he died.
How can I be sad? I never even met him. Why don't you boys go outside? I think your father and I need to talk.
Know what I think? I think Uncle Charles was rich.
You think our father would tell a lie?
I won't say that. I just bet he's rich. And I bet you I can find out. I'm gonna sneak in and listen.
You won't dare.
You think I won't?
Suppose I was to tell.
You won't. Because if you do, I'll tell Father who stole his knife.
Nobody stole his knife. He opened a letter with it.
I mean tomorrow.
Why'd you have to be mean like that, Cal?
Cal crept into the hall and crouched near the doorway. He smiled to himself. From this position, he wouldn't miss a word.
He's left an estate worth over $100,000, Lee. And Charles never spent a dime. He pinched a dollar until the eagle screamed.
But you're troubled by something.
The letter says the money is to be divided equally between me and my wife.
What are you going to do?
You heard what Samuel said. You know what she is. What do you think she would do with $50,000?
Morally, then, you would be against giving her the money.
Yes.
Well, she has no name, no background. She couldn't very well claim the money without your help. But you don't have any choice, do you?
What do you mean?
Do you know yourself so much less than I do? What you will do is written in every breath you've ever taken. The fact that your wife is a whore won't change a thing.
I'll go tonight, then.
Cal! Cal, wait up! Wait up! did you find out? Did Uncle Charles have any money?
No.
Well, then what were they talking about?
A wreath. Father's gonna send a wreath to our mother. A great big goddamn wreath of carnations.
Won't you come in? My name's Eva.
I want to see Kate.
Does she know you?
Tell her Adam Trask would like to see her. She'll know whether she knows me or not.
Kate told Eva to send him in. And when she heard him coming up the stairs, her left hand crept like a lean cat towards the desk drawer, where she kept her revolver.
Hello, Kathy.
I expected you for a long time, Adam. When he didn't come, I guess I forgot you.
I didn't forget you.
I didn't think you would. What do you want?
I received this letter this morning.
$100,000. Is this a joke?
It's from Charles' attorney.
Well, if you want me to sign anything, you're wasting your time. You want to buy me off? I want $45,000 in cash.
I don't want to buy you off. Charles willed you the money. It isn't mine.
Oh. So you're just doing this because you're so honest? Is that it? You're just too sugar sweet to live.
I wonder what it is you hate so much.
Oh, you wonder, do you? It isn't hate. It's contempt. When I was a little girl, I saw all those stupid lying fools for what they were. My own mother and father pretending to be good. I could make them do whatever I wanted. I could always make people do whatever I wanted. When I was half grown, I made a man kill himself. He pretended to be good too. And all he wanted to do was to go to bed with me. A little girl. That's what I hate. The hypocrites. And they're all hypocrites.
All?
All. Would you like me to prove it? Take a look at these photos. That's a state senator. He's got a wife and four kids, and he's gonna run for Congress. He likes whips. That's a whip mark on his shoulder. And this blubber is a councilman. This one's a professor at Berkeley. And this as a minister of the gospel. See that lighted match under his skinny flank burning into his pasty flesh?
If I had those pictures and those men knew it, I wouldn't think my life was very safe.
I have 100 beautiful pictures. And those men know that if anything should happen to me, that 100 letters, each with a picture, would be dropped in the mail.
I have to go.
Oh, don't go, my love. My sheets are silk. I want you to feel those sheets against your skin.
You don't mean that.
Oh, I do. You aren't clever at love, but I can teach you.
You're the mother of my sons. And you haven't even asked about them.
I'm the mother of your sons. What makes you think you're the father? How many times did I let you come near me enough to have children? Once. Just once.
You were hurt.
I wasn't too hurt for your brother.
I don't believe you.
Oh, but you will. At first you'll wonder, and then you'll be unsure, and then you'll think back about Charles, all about him, and remember some tea that tasted bitter. When you took my medicine by mistake and slept as you had never slept before.
You were too hurt to plan a thing like that.
I can do anything. I can make you raise your brother's children.
It wouldn't matter. Even if it were true, it wouldn't matter.
You're a fool.
You know all about the ugliness in people. But you don't know about the rest. You don't believe I don't want your money. You don't believe I loved you. You don't believe those men in the pictures could have goodness and beauty in them too. You only see one side. You think that's all there is.
What a sweet dreamer you are.
I wonder whether you ever feel it. feel that something invisible is all around you. Oh, it must be horrible to know it's there but not see it or feel it.
If there are things I can't see, don't you think it's possible that they're just dreams manufactured in your own sick mind?
No, I don't. And I don't think you do either.
And this was when Adam smiled at her as a man might smile at a memory.
I'll write to the lawyers and tell them where to get in touch with you.
And then he went out, closing the door gently behind him.
You think you're free, don't you? I could crook my little finger and you come back slobbering and crawling on your knees, dragging your belly on the floor, begging! Begging!
Kate stood in the doorway. Her body shook with something that felt like rage, but also felt like sorrow.
In East of Eden, Lee was played by David Yip, Adam by Robin Lang, Kathy, Holiday Granger, Samuel, Jimmy Chisholm, Aaron, Samuel Keefe, Cal, Alistair Hankinson, Dr. Tilson, Nick Underwood, Faye, Catherine Howden, Ethel, Anita Vitesse, and Abra by Gemma McElhinney. East of Eden by John Steinbeck was dramatised by Donna Frances Child and is a BBC Scotland production directed in Glasgow by Kirsty Williams.